Open session. Big Faji.
How do you spell that?
That's Faji.
Faji, there's so many. The real name is Beit, B-E-I-T, Pag, P-A-G-G. And Pag is immature baby or a green fruit that is not ripe. And I think
they're
not like
to open it. The
door is open.
Beat the
party. Roman Catholics are placed. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about that. What happened is, till the 19th century, I would say even a little after, because the church ruled this area from 1517 to 1917, and they were the one that controlled also Turkey and Greece and Cyprus, they preferred to give the authority over the holy site to the Greek Orthodox, because if something didn't go right, they always had a way to twist their arm or to make them obey them. Not only that, they wanted to make sure that there would be no influence of other nations over the holy sites. After the Crusades, when there was a war between Saladin and Richard the Lionheart, actually that battle nobody won it. There was a status quo that the Muslim will control the Christian holy sites. Every day, every night, they open and they close the churches, Nativity, but more so the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Not only that, every single procession, you have a Muslim dressed in a Turkish uniform that has a staff, and as if he knocks the way, to clear the way, but it's not really saying clear the way. What he's saying, we are in control. And you see it still today. There are 70 denominations in Jerusalem, about 5 in Bethlehem. And what happened is, they don't really live in peace, and that status quo even control who control what and where and what time of the day. To a point, and you will see it, that if there is a service, certain service, between the Greek Orthodox and the Roman Catholic, they take a broom and take off the dust.
Oh,
you remember, like it says in the Bible, I shake off the dust of my feet, and it means I have nothing to do with you. We have a say, let the wall in Jerusalem come down, not only between different religion, but even within religion, and that has to do with Christian Jews and Muslims alike, between the different denomination. So every day they open, every day they close, you cannot move a nail, leave alone put an icon or something like that without getting together, which they usually don't, up to violence. You really get violent. We had an incident about 2 or 3 months ago. A priest was killed in Bethlehem, and so on. What happened is, towards the end of the 19th century, and I would say more during the 20th century, the Turks started to lose power in this area, and all the nation says, hey, what can we get here? How can we do it? Through the church, each one, the French, the Italian, and so on, started to take control. How can you take control? Buy property, build the church. Most of the churches buy land, build a church. And most of the churches that we see were built 1923 and after. This one, Dominus Levit, Gethsemane, Ascension, 1956, the Church of Mary the Magdalene, all of them later. There was a great competition, mainly between the French and the Italian. And the Italian took more control. And one of the scholars, one of the architects that is very well known, and I think he did an excellent job, was Berluzzi. Who is Berluzzi? You know, by the name you can tell he's Italian. The Italian, there are 2 brothers. There is an Italian mother. And if you talk about the Yiddish mother, you know, Jewish mother, you can talk about the Italian mother. And the Italian mother wants her son to be a priest or architect. Not bad at all. So here we have a mother that has two. One become an architect and the other one become a priest. And the priest, 1917, First World War, he sent here. None of these churches exist here. And when he saw the need to claim the land before mosque and other things would be built, he decided to go home. He goes home, study to be an architect, come back, and he did gorgeous, gorgeous churches. I think he's the best of the architects you find here because he has the Bible background. And one of them is Mount of Beatitude, Sovereignty. The next one, Dominus Levit, and also Gethsemane. And I'll tell you more about his work later on. This church here is from the 19th century, over the site of the beginning of Palm Sunday. Here it's a Roman Catholic church. Next door is the Greek Orthodox church. It's about time that it finishes
talking. I didn't bring my Bible with me. We're going to read Palm Sunday. We're going to do it on.
I think I got it.
Do I have my Bible in here, or did I leave it? Rats, I left it on the...
It was John's 12:12, so I...
Well, Croy's got his electronic.
My main goal is not just the church, it's to go beyond the church, because so many things were found here. When you go to the church, and that will do as the last, after we do the visit, when you go to the church, you notice, and you don't find many places like this, there are steps going down, and then there's a church, and then there's a rock right there. Why? They cut off all around the place. They believe Jesus died on the donkey. I think there is a good sign.
Different directions with different expectations. But one thing they did have in common was that they sincerely believed that he was going to be coming for more than just entering in into the city. He was coming to take it back. That's where their hearts really were. Even though he wasn't on a horse. You know what I mean? And the others, it was, they wanted to see this miracle worker, too.
Yeah.
So there was a mix, but at the basis of it, they were still looking for Messiah. And their concept of it was he was going to free them from the oppression of the Romans.
I know.
Finally.
Wow. Thus the palms.
Yeah.
Palm front.
Yeah,
thing.
Right.
Yeah. And the hosannas too, probably.
Yeah, Lord save us. And there was implied that save us now.
That's in the scripture. That's in the scripture that it refers to in the Old Testament. It says, save now.
Yeah, it's translated that way.
No.
What about all the words that you hear?
Yeah.
But... Try to take a seat closer so I can stand up. This is going to be, well, I stand here. Try to take it closer. This is going to be kind of introduction to Jerusalem and to Judea. It's going to be, I'll try to make kind of an introduction to Jerusalem. And one of the things that I did not say when we were in the Galilee, kind of the difference between Judea and Israel, and then we come to talk about Jerusalem forever. What happened was this. When we think about the area of the Galilee, and that's where we came from, you remember that we said that in the year 732-724, Assyria attacked the northern kingdom, and the northern kingdom that was related to Ephraim, of course, the tribe that is the son of Joseph, and Joseph was a minister in Egypt. They used their support from Egypt, and as Elijah the prophet said, the sugar cane did break, and the northern kingdom fell. But there's one thing that I failed to tell you. What was the situation here in the area of Judea? In Judea, there was a king, and that name of the king was Hezekiah. And I think we all should be very, very thankful to the king of Hezekiah, because if Zion is what Zion is today, has a lot to do with him. When the problem started in the north, he said to the people in the north, "You do not have to go to Babylon. Come to Jerusalem. Come to Judea." And in a very short time, he cleared the temple, tripled the size of Jerusalem with a new wall, and made sure that Jerusalem will have enough water. He built a large reservoir of water where Jaffa Gate is. The other one, where the Antonia Fortress was still later on, north part of the temple, and made Hezekiah tunnel, and he sent the water to a pool which he called Siloam. To send is Shiloh, and that's where the word Siloam comes from. So the first thing, he made sure that there would be a lot of water in Jerusalem, a lot of protection with walls, and it says in the Bible, he built walls and towers, and also all along the desert. And when we go to Qumran on Tuesday, and we go to En-Gedi, and all the way to Masada, the first one who built fortresses there was Hezekiah. And many, many of the 10 tribes of the kingdom in the north, we call it the kingdom of Israel, found a shelter in Jerusalem and Judea. And Jerusalem, Judea is not anymore for the tribe of Judah, but because the tribe of Judah is the strongest one, we remain, and others refer to that as Judea. And this is so important, because when the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed, remember we talked about the first and the second temple? The first temple is built by Solomon 995 BC, and it's destroyed in 586. There's already, from 724 BC to 586 BC, Jerusalem is the center, not anymore just for the tribe of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, for all of Israel. So when they are in Babylon, and they're doing very well, thank you for your support, they do so well, and they make bundles of money, their heart was in Jerusalem. And there's a beautiful song in the book of Psalms by the river of Babylon, right? So this is a little bit why Jerusalem, Zion, because it's so important. And on that second exile, 586, when they come back, 536, there by Ezra and Nehemiah, with a declaration of Cyrus, which is a foreign king that controlled this area, that you're entitled to come and build your own home and your own temple, it's not only for the kingdom of Judah, but for all of Israel. And that's really what unites us all, and that's the way we see it. But there's another thing that I would like to talk about. We cannot talk about Jerusalem if we don't talk first about Abraham and David. And I don't think there's a better place to do it but right here on Mount of Olives. And yesterday we were in the place where Abraham came with Isaac, even though it was at night. Why is it so important to talk about it here? First of all, if you look across the valley on the mountains, very hard to stand there. That's I'm doing it here, and you're comfortably sitting here. This is the Moab Mountains, and at the foot of Moab Mountains is Jericho. Right across is Mount Nebo. It's very hard for me to pinpoint it, but it's right there. And on Mount Nebo, Moses stood. And if you look down at the promised land, he is not allowed to make it to the promised land because he disobeyed God. He destroyed something that was done by God, and that was a tablet that we really don't know what they had that he brought when he saw the golden cup. He also did not believe that God would give water, and he turned his head to see that there's water. And he also disobeyed God. Stood up on the mountain and the whole spirit that made it to the promised land, Caleb and Joshua. What is so special about Caleb and Joshua? It's the next year equivalent of a doctor. Why? There were 12 spies that were sent. All of them said it's a great country. But all 10 said there are giants there. We cannot get it. Except two that said God will provide. And Moses sends two spies, and those spies go to Rahab. What do you know about Rahab? You're not allowed to talk about her. She has a very nice profession, right? She's not Jewish. Yeah, right? She's not Jewish. And what happened to this lady, she followed the word of God by action. She doesn't analyze, okay, am I going to accept God? Is he going to be my God? She doesn't work on it philosophically. She does it. She's a woman of action. And she does what she's supposed to do. She risks her own life, she takes the two spies, she lets them out, and she's rewarded. In what way? She received the land. Where is the land of Rahab? She followed her to the gate of Bethlehem, and she alone, I came with Ruth. You know what he does? He takes off his shoe and he says, I have nothing to do with you. Do you know in the Middle East, if you take a shoe or you throw a shoe, when they throw a shoe at your president, Bush, it's not a real thing. So that's the worst of the worst. And it's in Hebrew called Hebrew. I have nothing to do with it. You know, we have videos from the war when it's kind of active. Even today, your brother has to take care of the widow. I have nothing to do with you. What else do you have to do? They're so poor. Ruth is a widow. Nobody to support her. No, he's not going to leave her. And they're going, and now I want to talk a little bit about the shepherd field. There is a hierarchy. First is the owner of the land. Then he leases it to some children. He leases out the land, and by the way, this is how it goes with the Palestinians. And this is how we are starting to have Palestinian refugees before the state of Israel established, because those owners that leased the land to the farmers sold it for a very cheap price and left those people with nowhere to be. Okay, so what happened is you have the owner, it's Boaz, you have the people who work in the field, after that you have the percentage that has to be left to serve the priest and Jerusalem, and then you have the poor. 10% remain on the field and the leftover, and the farmer is not allowed to go back to get it. And after the poor, the shepherd comes, the animals eat in the name of the grass and leave fertilizers behind. The name of the city, Beit Lechem, Hebrew, house of bread, and it's amazing. Arabic is house of wheat. Lechem is shepherd field versus wheat field. Versus. So here we have Ruth and Naomi, and they go up there and they collect the leftovers. And then Boaz sees, and she must have been a good witcher, right? And he asks them to leave some more behind. Naomi sees it and she tells him, go and sleep by his feet at night. That was today. And here we have Boaz and Ruth, who gave us who? Obed. Obed gave us Jesse. Jesse gave us Caleb. And like an olive tree, that it has a big trunk, but hollow inside, has many children around, that's the olive tree. Each child is a netzer, and that's where the word netzeret comes from. So David knows the area of Benjamin very well. He knows the area of Judah very well. He's a shepherd, he knows the wilderness, he has relatives on the Moab mountains. Why do I go so far? Because that has to do with Mount of Olives, and you'll see why in a moment. Here we have King Saul from the land of Benjamin. He fights in Beit Shan. Look how everything goes together. We just came from there yesterday. He dies. David become a king. Where? Not here. In the city of Hebron, in the far end of the country. He ruled for 7.5 years. Jerusalem is a Jebusite. And he said, hey, I'm the king of my own tribe. Where am I going? So he has to do something drastic to bring all the tribes together. The holy ark is in Kiryat Jearim, yesterday. He decided to bring it to that mountain. He takes off his garment. He brings it to the mountain, which he called Zion. What does the word Zion mean? We are here. We are facing the wilderness. The wilderness is Siyah. Siyah, shepherd field. The word for shepherd field is Siyah. Why? Because here, sheep and goats is Zon. And I take the Zon to the Siyah to feed them. Because this is where you see for the first time Siyah, they call the city Zion, Zion. Because each one gave a different name to the place he claimed. And David had the right to claim it because he paid for it. That is the name of the city. Yerushalem was Yeru, named God. Shalem is a whole, complete. Well, when Abraham bring Isaac to the altar, he changed the name to Yerushalayim. And I'm sorry to say, you do not call the city Jerusalem a right name. You should call it Yerushalayim. The Yah is very important. It's called for Yahweh.
Jerusalem, Yahweh.
Jericho, and they come to him. You're a dear friend, that whenever you come to Jerusalem, you stay there. Mary, Martha, Lazarus is sick. Do something about it. What does he do? He delays himself. Did he really have to come here to Bethany to heal him? Don't we remember that he was in Cana when he healed the centurion's son? But it's the last journey. And he had to prove to them who he is. So he delays himself. And as they go up the hill, they come to him and they say to him, it's too late. Why? Because he's dead. How do we know he's dead? It doesn't matter, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days. It doesn't matter. The body decayed. Had a bad smell, right? That is, you know, they didn't have medical knowledge we have today. People were put in body bags and started to move. They didn't know if a person was dead or not. They used to lay the body there. Till he had a bad smell. He's dead. Close the door. Close the door. Close the stone, not the door. Close the door. He's dead. And that's why he said when he came here, he's dead. He wanted to make sure that they know that he gave life. Because who can give life? Only God. In action, he said, I'm God. On his last journey, by saying I'm God, he condemned himself to death. And when he come up here, it's just right. Isn't it great that people pass over Easter? What a preparation, the best of the best. He went up to the Last Supper, and in the Last Supper, the priest is so conscious about food and comfort. He tells them a lot of bread. At worst of the worst, they all turn their back, except Peter, right? And then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, which we're going to end. And this morning is very special. We're doing now your preparation for Easter, Passover. We're doing Palm Sunday right now. And he's at the foot of the Mountain of Olives. Friends, the same place that David is. But then the David is the Abba. Absalom is the son. Now it's revealed. Jesus is the Son. He is the Ben. God is the other. And he comes. He had a choice, friends. The only thing he had to do, what did he have to do? Gethsemane, up here, go to Bethany, right where you're standing now. Don't you think that Lazarus, Mary, and Martha would take care of him? If he wanted to hide and go to the mountains as David did, he could not do it. He did, and he could. And he stays there in a garden. It's not a garden, but it's something like the city right now, with the vineyards, with olives, right? With an oil press, Gethsemane. And he sits there and he says, and only when you lose your Abba, you understand. He's dialogue with his Abba. When did he meet the first time his Abba? On his bar mitzvah, right? When he read the word from the Torah. And this is something that I want to know. If there's a word in the Torah, in the Bible, take the word from the Bible. Why did it say, and the word of God came flesh when he was born? Because he is the word, and the scroll is the flesh. And when you ask any Jew, when you go to a synagogue, what do you see? You see a Bible scroll. Put in what? In his woman clothes. So he's telling us that he is the word of God in flesh, in his woman clothes, and the word of God came flesh. And here he is at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says to his Abba, he's still in body. And he says, Abba, my cup of misery is up to here. What does it mean? Like a cleansing jar that is complete. It's complete. We have a say that everybody is born with a cup of misery. How many times does he talk to his Abba? 3 times. You say, when he tasted it, he improved something in 3 times. He says, Abba, my cup of misery is but your will be done. Because he knew he had a choice. The first, the second, and the third. We'll continue in the Garden of Gethsemane. I would like to take you to that.